Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. Matthew Rocchio is here as well. We've got you for the next couple hours, and glad to be able to spend some time with you on an evening where there is no Cardinals baseball. Cardinals get the off day today. Pitching absolutely needs the off day, and we'll see what it looks like here moving forward. They're going to welcome in the Baltimore Orioles for a three-game series that will begin tomorrow. As always, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about, you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Generally better to text, as we can, sprinkle in a text message here, text message there. But we try every once in a while to have some segments where we really lock in on the phones. Not sure if we'll get that today. We've got a couple guests that are going to be coming up on the program. And but you can always, for those of you watching on the video stream, feel free to comment on that. And we will address some of those comments as we go along through the program as well. Here is what we have planned for today. From a guest perspective, we're going to talk with Jim the Cat Hayes from Cardinals TV and also from Cardinal Territory, the podcast that he does with a number of folks, including Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. That's going to be coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Dan Reardon is going to join us at 6:35. We'll talk about the BMW Championship. We'll talk a little bit about the golf, but I want to talk more about how great St. Louis looked once again hosting a major sporting event and what it means for professional golf in St. Louis moving forward. And I mentioned Matthew Rocchio. He's our producer today. He's also going to be our guest during the 7:05 segment. Going to talk some City SC soccer with him. They just keep winning. They keep winning. That's great. It's awesome. Love that they keep winning. Love that it feels like there's a direction, but they also keep losing players that you've heard of. Like, hey, I know that guy, not here anymore. Oh, I know that guy, not here anymore. Why aren't they here anymore? So we'll go through all of that with Matthew. And then something we like to do on Mondays, on the rare times that we do have Monday shows, we like to be able to go back through what Heim Bloom says to Tom Ackerman during Sports on a Sunday Morning and play back some of the cuts on that. And I'll give you my thoughts on some of what was said. So we'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour as well. I want to just touch on something. I was a little bit frustrated about the reaction from, I think it's a vocal minority. I think most people understand, but I do think it needs to be addressed in a very direct manner, because maybe there's some people out there that just don't completely understand the motivation. And if you don't understand the motivation on this, not to be a jerk about it, but I feel like you're not paying attention, because I think the Cardinals have been really, really clear in why they're doing something and what the plan is moving forward. And that is specifically with Kyle Leahy and the innings, or the lack thereof of innings that he is throwing. Yesterday, he went 4 innings, gave up just 2 hits. He is not allowed to run in his last 2 outings. He has a 1.42 ERA in the month of August. That followed in month of July, where he had a 1.38. He is, by many metrics, the best pitcher in the National League since the calendar turned to July. I wouldn't say he's the best pitcher in the National League. I said he is, by many metrics, the best pitcher in the National League, specifically when you look at ERA and some other things. So why? Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they? Because many Cardinals fans would tell you that the Cardinals are intentionally shooting themselves in the foot, intentionally giving them less of an opportunity to win games by what they're doing with Kyle Leahy. And I realize that there's a lot of people who simply don't want to hear what I'm about to say. And that's fine. That's fine. But I'm going to say it nonetheless, because there are some people who do want to hear it, and there's some people that need to be reminded of it. And I've said this a million times, so my apologies to the people who have heard me say this before and know the words that are about to come out of my mouth. But after the reaction that I saw after yesterday's 4-inning outing, to me, this seems like something that needs to be brought up again. If you really increase a pitcher's workload from one year to the next, and there's a line that you do not want to cross where if you cross it, you are exponentially increasing the possibility for major injury the next year. And there are a lot of people out there that just want to ignore that. They want no part in acknowledging that. And I guess I would say, let's go to like an alternate universe. And that doesn't guarantee him health next year. He could still get injured next year. I'm not saying the opposite. But let's go to an alternate universe where they don't take the foot off the pedal and he shows up to spring training and two starts into spring training, blows out his elbow, blows, you know, forearm issues, whatever, and all of a sudden he's Tommy John surgery and he's out for the year. And we're all sitting here going, well, this could have been avoided. It's the numbers are out there. The math is out there. If you increase workload by too much, you are asking for major injury. And there's so many people out there who just want to ignore that and accept that, hey, you know what? Hey, if he gets injured next year, I know this isn't what you're saying overtly, but this is what you're saying subconsciously. If he gets injured next year, so be it. If he gets injured next year, who cares? We need to get that extra inning or extra two innings out of him here in a year where it's still somewhat unlikely that the Cardinals are a playoff team. Matthew Rocchio.
What do you say to the people who understand that thought process but simply disagree with employing it on a 29-year-old who hasn't hit arbitration yet?
I think he's still a big part of the club's future, and I wouldn't want to be supporting an organization that doesn't care for their players, that has no regard for that.
And but he's a guy who you have to move into the bullpen at the end of a season because he's hitting an innings cap. Doesn't that potentially put a little bit of a ceiling on what he can be for you in the future?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you do that. Did Steven Strasburg have a limit? Now, it's not an apples to apples because he's much younger and he was a phenom. I understand that. Whenever I have flawed comparisons, I like pointing out the flaws at the beginning. But I don't think just running a guy to a point where you're saying, okay, he's as far as we want to push him for this year, I don't think that limits what you do the next year on him. I don't.
My thing on the Strasburg comparison has nothing to do with their talent level. It does have to do with the fact that Strasburg didn't exactly have a very long career.
Yeah, I sometimes do wonder if would have the Nationals done any of that? Would have the Nationals tried to do more what the Cardinals are doing with Leahy, where instead of just yank him out, you know, tried to actually nurse him through? Would have that been the better call for the Nationals?
That's a good question.
Maybe. And I don't know if that changes anything in terms of his career moving forward.
But it's the kind of stuff they are having to think about. And while we might not agree with the thought process, we have to acknowledge the fact that these are the kind of conversations and questions the Cardinals are asking themselves. And that's what leads to this decision making.
Yeah. And I don't want to throw a guy to Tommy John surgery to try to get a few extra. And again, there's no guarantee that would happen. I am understanding of what the Cardinals are doing, and I'm in favor of what the Cardinals are doing. And I think people who are just very dismissive of it, your question, Rocchio, legitimate question. There's a lot of people out there that are just completely throwing away the fact that there is a reason behind it. And that's where I get a little bit frustrated. We'll talk with Jim Hayes. He comes up in just a moment or so from Cardinals TV and also Cardinal Territory podcast. He's with us in just a moment as we do roll on on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. No Cardinals baseball tonight, but they are back at it tomorrow. They're back home. So if you're watching it on TV, that means you'll once again see Jim Hayes doing everything that Jim does during the Cardinals TV broadcast. You also hear him on the Cardinals Territory podcast that he does with a number of folks, including Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. It's a great listen. It's always great to hear, not that it's not great to hear Jim, but being able to hear him ask the questions to a couple guys who just got done playing recently, it's very cool to hear how really current players think about things. So if you're not checking out the Cardinal Territory podcast, I don't know what you're doing. So let's welcome Jim Hayes onto the program right now. Hey, Jim, how are you?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm glad to be able to talk with you, and we'll see you over the next few days at Busch Stadium. What's your take? You've seen so much. This team continues to stick around, but then they have low moments, and this weekend was a low moment against the Phillies. Do you put any extra value or definition to it, or is it just a three-game series where things did not go well, and we'll see what they do coming back?
No, it was a Philly beatdown. It was as low as you can get. But the thing about this ball club is every time, and they've had other low points where you think, all right, that's about it. And they always seem to punch back. These are a bunch of young guys that play with pride, play with energy, don't win every single game, but certainly overreaching some people's expectations. So I never count them out, though things look gloomy right now. But again, every time you think they're down for the count, they get up and they throw a punch. So we'll have to wait and see.
That's what happened in the ninth inning yesterday, and you just feel terrible for Riley O'Brien. He's been really good. He's been a great Cardinal this year, and he's been an all-star. But you feel bad for a guy when he is – he just didn't have it. He had a bad day yesterday, and to see six runs go up against him at about the snap of a finger, you just I think the first thing Ollie said yesterday, and I think it's true, you just feel bad that he went through that.
Yeah, and I felt bad for me, too, because I'm walking around like the fair in St. Charles. I got my phone. I'm watching the score like a good fan. Run into a bunch of Cardinal fans. We're talking about the game. They're up 4-0. Last I looked, they're up 4-0, and there were two outs. And then I got distracted by a brat or something. I don't know. I go back to my phone. Final, 6-4. They lose. A shocker. But, look, every closer knows that there's going to be bad ones. You know, Jason Isringhausen used to say, not my first rodeo. And Riley O'Brien, though he's 31, he's not a kid, this is really his first full year closing games. And there's a lot of psychology that goes into it. I did a sit down with him during the last homestand where he explained a lot of that is just believing in yourself. I think he's to a point where there's been so much good. What does he have? 31 saves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had a down period, then he bounced back. I think he'll get through this and be fine. His stuff is just nasty. But even talking to Dusty Blake, it's like a lot of it is convincing young guys, your stuff plays here, go out and get them. So we'll have to see about it. But there's no question, the Cardinals are in a tough spot. The bullpen's been beat up, and now they got a starting rotation situation that they're going to have to figure out. But I'm going to say this, Matt. I always say this about you, by the way. To me, you're one of the most rational voices, on social media, on radio, TV. I think you make a lot of sense, and I think you would agree with this. Look, it's a rebuilding year. We've known that, right? And even though they were ahead of where people thought they'd be and there was a shot for the wild card, and they still might get the wild card, we knew that this team had some rough spots in it. It has some weaknesses. There's no question. And a lot of times they kind of got to play a perfect game to beat really good teams, and they've done plenty of that. But it's a rebuilding year, and the main thing that they're focused on, they're trying to win every game, don't get me wrong, but they're replenishing their minor league system with the most valuable commodity in baseball, and that is controllable young talent, especially pitchers. And no one could look at that stock minor leagues and say they're not in position to win in the future. And I kind of understand that's what this season's about. And I think the Cardinals have been, and Heim Bloom have been, fairly transparent about that.
Is there value in that moment of trying to allow Riley to work through it? Because Ollie did go out there, and when he went out there, I was wondering, is he gonna pull Riley? Is he gonna go to Gordon Graceffo? And Ollie made the decision that this was Riley's game to win or lose. He was gonna live and die with his all-star closer. Even in a moment where it did not go well, is that something that you want a young guy to even be able to experience trying to get out of that situation? Obviously, it did not go well for Riley.
To me, it's a double-edged coin. Is there value in leaving him in and it doesn't go well? Or is there value in taking him out? You're our closer and you don't have it today, so we're taking you out. We don't think you can get through it. It's just not a good situation either way. But certainly it's one to grow on for O'Brien to be able to tough through it and realize that there's going to be games. And look, he wasn't a disaster. He wasn't walking the bases loaded. He gave up. You know, don't get me wrong, the ball to Schwarber seemed hittable, but it wasn't like he was off the charts bad. They hit him, a pretty good hitting team, especially a couple of guys in that lineup that always seemed to beat up on the Cardinals, including Sosa. But I don't know, you know, if there's what can be learned from that, except that's part of the job is sometimes you're going to get beat. And I think Riley O'Brien, just talking to him a bunch lately, I just think he's matured a lot, and he does believe in himself, and I think he'll bounce back. So maybe this is one to grow on for him.
As you've spent this year talking, you know, multiple times a week with Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, as they've watched this thing play out and a team exceed expectations, play games that matter in a year where that wasn't the expectation, is there anything that they've said to you that's maybe really struck a chord where they see this in a really unique way?
Well, Lance Lynn, well, both those guys are really smart, but Lance Lynn said it to me a couple times early, and damn if it doesn't come true within a game or two. Baseball evens things out. Okay, so even when they were playing, you know, even better than people expected, you knew at some point it was going to revert to the mean. But both those guys, I can tell you, they played with a lot of these guys, have the ultimate respect for the talent on this team. Although I think early on they were wondering aloud, what if you didn't get rid of all those guys and kept one or two? Maybe it'd be in a better position to also build for the future, but also try to climb through any window of opportunity for this year. But both those guys have been really supportive of Ollie. They talked about his ability to relate to players, to the media, to former players. So there's a lot of praise that those guys throw out, just not generally in my direction, where they seem to treat me like a pinata every episode.
We're talking with Jim Hayes. This team, for the first time in a long time, dealing with starting pitching injuries. Andre Pallante is going to be out for a turn or two. We still don't know what the prognosis is going to be on Hunter Dobbins. There's two things here. A, they have to work through what the rotation is going to look like with those guys not available. But B, it's a good opportunity to really acknowledge the fact that they've done a nice job of keeping starters healthy for a really, really long time.
Yeah, and there's times where it's like, oh, they're going to push back this guy a day. Whatever they do, it has worked out. It's kept them healthy. Now, you could say maybe there's luck involved. I don't know. I just know that these guys know what they're doing. They know better than I do. These guys chart everything physically. I mean, from heart rates to sweat rates. I mean, they monitor sweat rates. So these guys know better than me, and you can't argue with the results. They've kept the rotation healthy. And so to have two starters go down, and Quinn Matthews just got pounded around by a pretty, you know, vaunted lineup by the Phillies. But they got to figure out and piece this together the rest of the way. And I'm curious to see how they do it. I do know that a lot of people were questioning Libby, who's been okay in his last couple starts. Both those guys were saying that this is Libby's opportunity. And if they were Libby, they'd want Dusty or Ollie to come and say, look, you're getting 100 pitches every start now because we need you. And they said, we'd love to hear that. But we're going to find out a lot about what they have left in the cabinet now.
We just got a comment, Jim, from one of our listeners, Holy Wheat Germ, that says, I miss hearing Jim Hayes on the radio.
Well, he's the one that's probably one of my relatives that are calling into the show. Yeah, I miss being on the radio. But, things change. And I'll tell you, doing the podcast three times a week with those guys. So we do with Cardinal Territory, we do Lance, Kyle, once in a while, Matt Holliday, and then like a media guy like yourself or a former Cardinal. So it's three times a week. That's plenty of me, I think.
We could always get more Jim Hayes. I would push back on that a little bit, Jim. We can always get more, but that's still a heavy workload. And I really do. I mean, I think you do a great job working with those guys, but it's one of the few mediums out there where you've got people who were, you know, former players who were just, you know, Matt Adams is out there a little bit in the media, and I know he'll pop on with you guys on every once in a while, but it just doesn't seem like there's a big avenue right now for former Cardinals to have a big platform, especially former Cardinals who were just recently getting done playing.
Yeah, and guys with something to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is, if and you and I probably can't relate to this, but if you have what the kids call the bag, I'm talking about a bag full of millions of dollars, you probably don't want to travel a lot as, you know, anymore, or maybe you don't want to fill in here. You owe your wife and kids time too, for all the years you've been away. So I think it's, you know, it's sort of a thing that they have to manage. And for them, I think doing this podcast, though, for me, sometimes it's like herding cats. Oh, I can't do it today. Can we do it tomorrow? I get it. But I think this is a manageable amount of time for them. But I agree with you. These guys are not only engaged, still know guys, still have sources, but they have something to say. And like with Lance and Kyle, they're not afraid of saying it. And Kyle was kind of, we were talking about kind of what we're talking about now, about the fans who wanted the rebuild. And we all know it's a rebuild, no matter what you call it. And the Cardinals have done a nice job of rebuilding the minor league system. And now they're mad that they're not in a wild card spot. Well, it's tough to get it both ways, right? And so Kyle was kind of chastising them a little bit. But we understand, certainly I do, and those guys do, especially Lance, who spent a lot of years in St. Louis, that Cardinal fans are used to winning. Cardinal fans know their baseball, and Cardinal fans want to see a winning product on the field. I get that. And as I said on the podcast, look, you can't, like, you can't pigeonhole any group of people. You can't say Cardinal fans feel this way. Cardinal fans, there's a lot of opinions amongst Cardinal fans. I do know that they love their team. I think that's the common thread that ties it all together. And some fans wanted to see a push into the postseason, and I certainly understand that. But I think the Cardinals, as I said, have been pretty transparent. This is a rebuild.
They have been. Everything that they've said basically has come true, and I think the transparency deserves a lot of credit. Jim the Cat Hayes, he's part of Cardinals TV. You'll see him on the broadcast this weekend with the team being back home. You need to be listening to the Cardinal Territory podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcast. You can also watch the video version. That's on YouTube, at Card Territory on Twitter if you need more details on that. Jim, always appreciate you taking some time with us. We'll see you at the ballpark over the next few days.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
All right, very good. That is Jim the Cat Hayes from Cardinals TV and also from Cardinal Territory. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit. What a great opportunity for the St. Louis, the city of St. Louis, to just show out in the biggest way to the entire country with the BMW Championship at Belle Reve this weekend. Dan Reardon was there for every moment of it. We'll talk with him coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Over 155,000 people made it through Belle Reve over the weekend for the BMW Championship. Once again, St. Louis showed out in the biggest of ways for big sporting events and in the biggest of ways for the sport of golf, as the BMW Championship was this weekend. I'll tell you what, we are so blessed to have Dan Reardon as part of the team here at KMOX. He's been here a very long time. There's very few people who can talk about golf the way he does. And he was out there covering all weekend long. He joins us right now via the Quiver River Electric guest line. Dan, I don't even like have a question for you to start. Like, just as you reflect upon the last 4 days, what stands out to you the most about this BMW Championship at Belle Reve?
Well, you know, Matt, if you talk about the galleries, you know, I will admit that in 2018, everybody knew that that championship was something different. And the energy and everything was just off the charts. And I always said about that PGA Championship, that wasn't a PGA Championship. That was a Tiger Championship, because that was his crowd. That was his gallery. And so I had my concerns, maybe, or doubts, what they would get when you're not playing a major as it's a PGA Tour event and Tiger is not in the field. So to then see what the actual turnout is and to know that they sold out both Saturday and Sunday, I would say I'm pleasantly surprised, because I didn't anticipate that. And one of the things people should know who watched it on television, the build-out, which is the boxes, the carpet areas around the golf course, as play goes on Sunday, as they go back by the bleacher on 3 or the bleacher on 4 or the tent on 5, those areas empty out, and they join the parade going to the back 9. So when we get to the final 3 holes, when we get to 16, when we get to 17, and I'm picturing what we saw on 18, you're seeing those numbers. I can picture them dropping the ropes and letting the spectators come down the fairway and approach the green a little bit, like they do in the Open Championship. And I thought those shots were spectacular, and it's an unfair comparison, but I think in a numbers wise, it's a fair comparison. The last time I saw something like that was Tiger in 2019 when he won the Tour Championship, not the FedEx Cup, but the Tour Championship, and they did the same thing on that par 5 18th hole. It was that same kind of image. So I think the images were great, and that's, I guess, what stands out in my mind.
What's the impact of that for St. Louis, for golf in St. Louis, where this was a really special weekend, and I think that played out on TV well?
It reaffirms with the people who make the decisions that we are a genuine destination. How that plays out is a little bit problematic, because I'm pretty sure the membership at Belrive is happy with this interval kind of arrangement. Realize the last time I talked about was 2018, the PGA Championship, and I don't think the BMW was announced till like 2002. And now we know in 2030, the President's Cup, which will be a very different event in terms of the number of players that we're talking about. But I don't think Belrive is looking. You know, if somebody came to Belrive and said, we'd like to put a PGA Tour event in St. Louis, would you host it? I think their membership would decline. That doesn't mean there isn't somebody in St. Louis who might want to do that. And I have a crazy idea, which I won't go into, where something like that could happen. But all it does is it keeps us in the conversation. You know, the BMW will continue to rotate. I know their last announced destination is 2029. They're going to Olympia Fields in Chicago. And nothing is booked beyond that. So if Belrive is saying we're going to have the President's Cup here in 2030, let's bring BMW back in 2023. You know, that's a possibility. But it's a long way to answer your question, but I think that's where it all stands.
Yeah, and I hear people say sometimes, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but I hear people say sometimes, okay, St. Louis is going to support the big golf events that are kind of more one-offs, but would the community support an annual event? And yeah, it would probably have to be somewhere else, to the point that you're just making. Do you think at any point in time it would be worth people coming together and maybe doing feasibility on whether or not St. Louis could be hosting an annual PGA Tour event?
Okay, well, I'll give you my what if. And I haven't run this by anybody. You're the first person I've said
this
to.
Let's go. Love it.
We know that in 2028, Memphis is no longer going to be on the premier part of the PGA Tour. We believe that in 2028, John Deere will not be a part of the big tour. I think a great idea would to take those two events, ally it with St. Louis, just like BMW has done. You know, BMW jumps to a new location every year. Well, what if you had the Mid-America Classic, and one year you played in Memphis, the next year you played in St. Louis, the next year you played in the Quad Cities, and then do that again, and rotate the sponsors, John Deere when they're in John Deere, FedEx when they're in FedEx, Anheuser-Busch when they're in St. Louis. What if you allied those three tournaments, shared resources? You have the proximity of all the galleries are not great distances. I think a concept like that, I think a club would look at that and say, yeah, we want a PGA Tour event. We don't want it every 3 years. Or they'd say, our town can support you financially 1 year, but we need a little break before we can come back with the money a few years down the road. So if I knew a billionaire and I was trying to persuade them to do something, I'd approach the tour. I do know the tour wants to be in the Midwest. The players want to be in the Midwest. They're not in the Midwest, you know, and they're looking at Chicago, but Chicago is a little bit like St. Louis. It's a great event town, but they haven't had great success with recurring events. And Chicago has a lot more going on than we have in St. Louis. But I would like to see the Mid-America Classic rotate on three different destinations over a continuing basis. What do you think of that?
I love it. I saw some people talk about that. Not that exact thing, but I think I saw somebody say, you know, Omaha, Chicago, and St. Louis go in on a 3-year type thing. So I love the idea behind it. And I would think that the PGA Tour, just with the struggles that they're having, Dan, at keeping some of these events and keeping the sponsorship connected to some of these events, if they're not thinking outside of the box on scenarios like those, then they're doing a disservice to the sport.
And that's why I included two events that are going away. You have a great fan base. I mean, great fan base for the John Deere. We know Memphis is a poster child for the PGA Tour because of its affiliation with St. Jude. So those and I talked to a broadcaster from Memphis who says they're really angry in the town because they know that next year is their last year of being a real PGA Tour town. Why not tap into those existing fan bases, put them all together? Like I said, geographically, and for St. Louis, I mean, it's no effort to go to Memphis or to go to Quad Cities from here. And you could structure it, you know, you leave the title sponsor in place in each town and the other two become presenting sponsors. So financially, that works. You have volunteer bases. There's a lot of things that would work. Not to say my idea will work. I'm just stealing from BMW because BMW goes to different locations every year, and they come back eventually. And that's what I'm proposing. Stay in the Midwest and take some existing events and keep them happy.
How much pride do you take when Jim Nance is just glowingly speaking over St. Louis? And every single golfer who was asked about either the galleries or the way the course played, it was really positive. I mean, there's got to be a level of pride that everybody associated with this event, including huge, huge names, said so many positive things.
I'm sort of a bad person to answer that question because even though I'm not, you know, I'm only doing the PGA and the Masters now, I've been in a lot of communities and I've been in a lot of interview rooms and I've heard a lot of questions from people sort of asking for the players to say nice things about their town. Like they're a little bit, and St. Louis in 2018, I thought was a little bit insecure in the interview room. But these were unsolicited and the comments, and Nance is always a great, and I can tell you, you know, they were genuinely stunned by what happened in 2018, including Tiger. And Tiger had mentioned 2018 as recently as 2 years ago because he remembers what the galleries are like. So it's genuine. I don't mean to say it's not genuine. I'm just saying it's not uncommon. You know, they made Wyndham Clark an honorary member at Belrive Country Club after his win yesterday. And as he was leaving the interview room, Doug Ferguson of the AP said, "So how many honorary memberships do you have now?" And he said, "I think it's 4." Okay, wow. So certain things just automatically take place. I don't know if I've given you a good answer. I do think they're genuinely impressed, and you have to be. I do know that Rory says, when I show up on Thursday morning and there's 20,000 people already there when I tee off at 9 in the morning, they're sort of stunned by that. Scheffler said the same thing. They don't see that kind of thing. They expect to show up on Thursday and Friday and see smaller galleries in the morning and maybe pick up in the afternoon. What they get on the weekend, they anticipate they'll always get on the weekend. They got it here in St. Louis all 4 days.
Dan, we are so lucky that you continue to cover the sport and do it for us here at KMOX. Thank you for everything you did all weekend long. And we'll be talking again very, very soon. But appreciate you finding some more time after a very busy weekend for you.
And Matt, don't forget, in October, we have playoffs on the Senior Tour. We have the Stifel Charity Classic, and that is not just a tour stop now. That is a playoff event, and that will be the best players in senior golf at this point in time. And I think people should keep that in mind.
Awesome. Very good. Thanks, Dan.
Enjoyed it.
All right. That's Dan Reardon joining us here on the program.